This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Gauteng and FMR in Cape Town.
Well, in the midst of yet another load shedding induced reminder of the parlous state of our energy supply in South Africa, some very important questions remain unanswered, such as when exactly will the IRP be finalised and gazetted? When will we see the amendments to the Electricity Regulation Act on exemptions to licensing for embedded generation up to 10 megawatts gazetted? As I was discussing with Kieran White last night, this will unlock a significant amount of pent-up demand in the commercial and industrial sectors and allow businesses to at least manage these costs that they're increasingly exposed to via Eskom or our municipalities. And it really has taken much of the winds out of the sails of the recent potential positive headline impact from Total's recent discovery called Brul Pada. Well, my next guest is Stephen Larkin, an expert in Southern Africa oil and gas exploration and CEO of African New Energies. Evening, Stephen.
Hello.
Now, this Total find is really quite something, and I don't think many fully grasp just how catalytic it could be if you're not steeped in hydrocarbon economics. So let's just try and separate the speculation from the economic facts of oil and gas extraction. And one of the most important features of the oil business is obviously that large amounts of money need to be spent before there's anything to sell. The work goes along into exploration. The company's always asking the question, is this going to make us any money? Sinking wells is a very expensive exercise. So from this perspective, Total wouldn't be spending so much money if it didn't really expect to make a significant return. Just how significant is this Brul Pada announcement?
Well, if we are to believe Total's numbers, which I think are on the conservative side, but let's work the barrels of oil equivalent that they've announced, we're talking about in the region of $60 to $70 billion of revenue over the life. Now, in terms of the increased economic activity to the South African economy, you could also add several billion dollars of capital expenditure. So today's exchange rates, that'll get you over a trillion rand, which is very significant indeed to the South African economy.
Who actually owns the resource?
The resource is controlled, and it's controlled by a consortium of Total, Qatar, and then there's a local BE consortium where the CEO of MTN, rather luckily, is involved, or skillfully involved, and then there's a Canadian company as well, which has 20%. So it's a consortium of international players who are steeped in skills, I would argue, the world's best skills in extracting natural gas.
And extracting it from very difficult geology in deep water that many have pointed to as perhaps being one of the constraints to this particular find, in that it will obviously increase the cost to extract the natural gas and the oil, whatever split that is. But when it comes to who owns the resource, I ask the question because in the USA, you as a landowner, you own everything above it and you own everything in the land. Outside the USA, the situation is quite different. Generally, governments own the mineral rights, and they don't call them landmen outside of the USA. They're better called commercial diplomats, I guess. They go out and they negotiate directly with government officials. And the government then typically creates these fairly large areas called blocks, which in effect are leased to an oil company. So what are the rules of the game from here?
Well, you're quite right. America is different to the rest of the world. Most countries, including South Africa, the mineral rights reside with the government, and the government allocates rights based on commercial contracts, and that's exactly what has happened here. So I guess the ultimate ownership of those rights is vested with government. However, it is in the form of a lease. So what will happen here is that you have a first renewal period of the production, which tends to be around about 25 years, where the terms taxes, royalties are agreed, and then you'll have a second renewal period, which will be after 25 years. So I would argue that the rights are owned by the people who have, or the companies that have discovered them, but it's effectively a public-private partnership because the government does get significant taxes. There's a high probability that Mosgas is going to be one of the key off-takers, and Mosgas is owned by PetroSA.
Yep.
And therefore, think of this as a public-private partnership, and most oil and gas discoveries should be classed as that.
And Mosgas was started, if I stand under correction, I think on a trillion cubes, wasn't it? And this potentially is quite a lot bigger if we take into consideration that more wells have to be drilled. No company discovers a new deposit of oil and gas with only one well. So this is a continuing development and exploration of those blocks. But what it interestingly indicates to me, Stephen, is that Total is satisfied with the policy certainty that is provided by the South African government. And there's lots of moving parts here. When you do the financial model on these things, you've got the moving part of the oil price. You've also then got to take in the country's policy on tax rates, on depreciation, on all of the regulations and subsidies and rents and royalties that all have an effect on the financial returns of a project. So it seems to indicate that Total is fairly satisfied by the rules of the game that have been laid out by the government.
Well, I can add to that. Alumni Energy Investments, that is our company, has six concessions that are onshore in South Africa, and we are just as involved as Total is with the negotiations with the ministry. And we have received very positive feedback, and the ministry is tremendously supportive of exploration. So I'm not surprised that they're saying that, because that's exactly been our experience. What I would also like to add, indirectly, I think the greatest benefit of the Brulpadda discovery is the fact that sentiment has changed towards South African exploration. It is now the world's hottest exploration play. This is the largest discovery anywhere for some time in the world. And it's going to unlock billions of dollars of exploration, and not least for my own company, Alumni Energy Investments, because and the South African government has also been very far-sighted by using the tax system to encourage local investors through Section 12J, which is there to help entrepreneurs, but particularly mining and oil and gas projects, where they can invest up to $500 million. So, yes, there are a lot of moving parts, but we have reason for optimism that we will find enough natural gas for the country's needs, and hopefully help Eskom to move away from coal, which is quite frankly killing it.
Well, and Stephen, I want to pick up on that point, because I've taken a lot of flack because of my excitement about this find, and that from people are very concerned about climate change and our decarbonizing of the energy system and the just transition. But what we tend to forget is that natural gas is a great bridging fuel to get us away from dirty coal in the interim as we develop our renewable resources.
Well, let me quantify that for you. In South Africa, our coal emissions are 940 grams per kilowatt hour. If we can move over to a combined cycle natural gas turbine, it goes down to about 330 grams per kilowatt hour. That's two-thirds of a saving in terms of carbon. And even Pope Francis, in his latest papal encyclical on climate change, said that moving away from coal to natural gas is the right way to go. So we've effectively got a blessing from God.
Stephen Larkin, expert in South African oil and gas exploration and CEO of African New Energy, saying that the Brulpadda discovery really is a game changer, could bring at least a trillion rand to the South African economy over the next 20 years. And very interestingly, saying that the South African government has been quite foresighted in the way it has approached this from an incentive and tax perspective. You're listening to Classic Business.